Welcome to the Authority of Love. My name is Greg Williams, and thank you for joining me on this broadcast. Welcome to a new week and a new month here on July 1st. And the first thing that I have to do is give a happy anniversary shout out to my oldest son, Lansing, and his bride, Hannah, on their first wedding anniversary. Congratulations, guys. Praying for you and love you. I'm praying God's richest blessings on you both and on your marriage, as well as the blessing of our third grandchild. We understand it's going to be a little girl, but the first one we will hopefully be able to hold, rock, feed, and spoil. Both of our sons and their lovely wives experienced miscarriages in the last year, and we certainly want to remember and honor those lives as God had given life that was very short-lived. So I ask you to pray for them and thank you for that, and thank you for this newest edition, and we're going to celebrate all of them. Now, if you missed last week's episode or missed any previous Authority of Love messages, you want to listen again or share with others, you can go to Love and Lordship, loveandlordship.com, and you can check out the read, the watch, or the listen tabs to get articles, podcasts, or videos. If you'd like to connect with me, do so through loveandlordship@gmail.com. The email is loveandlordship@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear from you. Thank you for those who have connected and encouraged and challenged and questioned, all of those things. Love to hear from you. This week's messages are going to focus on what it means for God to take hold of us for His purposes, how we are to walk them out as disciples of Christ, and one of the things in particular that can interfere with our relationship with God and destroy our witness and testimony. Many times I've talked about modern day churchianity, which is essentially with both places the church and our work and service above God Himself. I don't think that's always, and maybe even seldom, the intention, but because we water down, ignore, or refuse much of the teachings on the priority of God and Christ above everything else, as well as the requirement that we are to decrease, deny ourselves, and die to self, because these are seemingly unpleasant thoughts, that we have what I call today, churchianity. We then think that since folks don't want to hear His whole truth, that ours is working better because it keeps them attending our churches, but it's on shaky ground, the compromised truth of His word. Paul, inspired by Holy Spirit, made it crystal clear through his own life and teaching as to what it means for God to call and take control of our lives as we willingly surrender to Him and what that requires. Oswald Chambers captures this reality of discipleship, the discipleship walk in today's title, and the core verse. First with the title, of course, Apprehended by God. Now, if you're following along in the devotional booklet or at myutmost.org, we're on June the 28th. First of all, let's make sure we don't miss what Chambers and what we'll see that Paul is saying here with regard to our life in Christ. What does it mean to be apprehended by someone? In this case, by God through Christ. Well, as it's defined in the dictionary, it simply means to seize, take captive, or in the very legal sense, to arrest someone. All of that sounds pretty harsh, but let's remember what God's love toward us means in that He never demands, even when He gives commands. It's our response that determines whether He can apprehend us. If you love me, you will keep my commands. John 14:15. God has done all that is necessary to capture or apprehend us for His kingdom and service, but He will not force us to respond. We must do so out of love, as that is the authority of His kingdom and lordship in Christ. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Chambers pulls no punches when he begins with Paul's declaration of Christ taking over his life, and we must consider the same. If that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended. That's in Philippians 3:12. Let me read it again. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. Now, I chose the classical version in the devotional for the title and the scripture text in order to highlight the other versions that you find online that entitled the message this way, Gripped by God or held by the grip of God. Now that sheds a little more light on what this looks like when we choose to surrender to God. He knows that the best for us is to be apprehended, tightly held in his grip in order to best fulfill what we were created for. This can only happen in Christ. Now here's that other part of the equation in salvation and sanctification that we must realize as well, and it's found in the text in the devotional book, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Notice that when we surrender our lives to God in Christ, not only does he take hold of us, but we are to take hold of him and what he has called us to. Chambers reminds us what I mentioned earlier in how we so often elevate our work and or who we are as servants above God himself by how we approach this very relationship. Listen to how he starts in the devotional. Never choose to be a worker. But when once God has put his call on you, woe be to you if you turn to the right hand or the left. We are not here to work for God because we have chosen to do so, but because God has apprehended us, captured, taken hold of, even arrested us if we are truly willing. Don't miss the next statement that he says. It's profound. There is never any thought of, oh, well, I am not fitted for this. What you are to preach or proclaim, and I would add how you are to live, is determined by God, not by our own natural inclinations or gifting or talent. That may play a role in it, but it may not. Keep your soul steadfastly related to God, and remember that you are called not to bear testimony only, but to preach or proclaim the gospel. And as one famous quote says, referring back to my how we are to live statement, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Every Christian must testify. But when it comes to the call to preach, there must be the agonizing grip of God's hand on you. Your life is in the grip of God for that one thing. How many of us are held like that? Now, that's strong. And if we're honest, it's tough to receive. While we could dismiss this as for preachers and ministers of the gospel only, you can certainly make the case that all of us who are saved and called to proclaim the gospel. Otherwise, how will they hear? Because especially in our day and time, fewer and fewer are attending churches. We each one as disciples are called and captured to be disciples and make disciples of Christ. And that can only be done through his gospel. Chambers says this, never water down the word of God. I have to repeat that because it's far too prevalent in our churches, including so many so-called conservative churches. Never water down the word of God. They think they don't dilute the message. But when you ask why they're not publicly and boldly standing on God's truth regarding issues such as abortion, sexual immorality of every kind, gender dysphoria that clearly goes against God's word, and other hot topic cultural issues, you will hear the excuses as to why and the fear of man rather than fear of God. Chambers continues, preach the word in its undiluted sternness. There must be unflinching loyalty to the word of God, truth in grace and love. But when you come to personal dealing with your fellow men, remember who you are, not a special being made up in heaven, but a sinner saved by grace. That's true of every preacher, every person, every disciple, and I pray that we're all moving toward that because that's what we're called to. We tend to dilute the message and call it grace because we're much more concerned about how others will respond, what they'll think of us, and whether or not they'll come back, rather than being completely true to the truth of his word and doing it graciously without compromise, even allowing them to walk away if they don't like it. Jesus did. Chambers closes, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And here's the food for thought. And what was it that Paul said he must do and that we must do? To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Have you accepted Christ as Savior, but failed to take hold of that for which he apprehended you? For his word, his will, his glory? as you help others come to know him as Savior and Lord, a disciple making disciples for him. That's what every one of us are called to. There are some specifics, but every one of us are called to be disciples that make disciples. And that requires a lot more than just simply inviting them to church and hearing a sermon. Oftentimes that leaves out key components because we want them to come back and think they won't. Here's our love in action. Spend time with God in his word, prayer, and listening every day. Begin with the scriptures in this message. And remember, if that's not enough or you want to start somewhere else, start with the Gospel of John and or the Psalms in the Old Testament, John in the New Testament, Psalms in the Old Testament. It's a great place to start. Number two, ask Holy Spirit to teach you. I've said it many times. I'll say it every once in a while, over and over again. That's one of the main roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to lead us deeper and deeper into the truths of God and use us to help others come to know that. So ask him to teach you. Number three, what is or has been your view of your relationship with God in Christ? How does it align with today's teaching and scriptures? And then number four, what needs to change for you to take hold of what Christ has taken hold of you for? Remember, that starts with discipleship. Every one of us have been taken hold of by Christ to be his disciples and to make disciples. So it has to begin there. We're going to talk about that more later in the week, but tomorrow we're going to look at God's love and the inevitable cost. Don't miss it, and invite your family, friends, loved ones, and enemies to join us as well, as we all need to hear these truths of the scripture so that we can, not only those of us who need to know and Jesus Christ as Savior, but walk with him as Lord, what that truly means. Now again, you can find out more at loveandlordship.com, loveandlordship.com. Spell it all out, A-N-D in the middle, loveandlordship.com. You can find our book there, The Authority of Love, second edition. There's an icon right there in the middle of the page. And if you just picked it up and tried to do it online at Amazon or Google, make sure you spell out the word second, S-E-C-O-N-D, not 2-N-D. I don't know why, but it will lead you on a crazy wild goose chase, all right? Again, you can contact me at loveandlordship@gmail.com, loveandlordship@gmail.com. While you're on the website, if you were compelled or you think that this is a kingdom ministry that the Lord is using in your life or could use it in others, and we've had much evidence of that, thank you for those who have encouraged us in that way. But if you feel compelled to give, you can do so at the upper right corner. Near the upper right corner is a give tab. It's very quick, takes a minute or so. You can give one time or ongoing. All donations are fully tax deductible and greatly, greatly appreciated to help us continue in this work for the kingdom and for his glory. I've always say this, and I won't stop because I don't like to do a lot of that. I say it one time and then I'll say this. If we're not the ones that you feel like God's calling us to give to, start with your church and then keep praying until you find out where he would have you partner with other ministries. If it's us, thank you. If it's not, thank you for being faithful to the Lord and finding other ministries that you can give to. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. Make it a great day in the love and lordship of Christ. Stay tuned now for my good friend Greg Horn, 1245 with Hope is Here. I'm Greg Williams, and you're listening to The Authority of Love.